The end of the year. Are you excited?
Yes.
Are you excited about what the Lord is doing?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's so awesome to be in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God, in the midst of all God's people. And what an amazing life we are having as the Lord is leading us and guiding us, and as He makes a way for us. There's no greater joy than the joy of the Lord. Isn't that right? Praise God. Well, I hope that you are feeling welcome this morning and that you are enjoying the worship and the presence of the Lord is ministering to your heart, because this is what life is really all about. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about taking the opportunity to be reconciled to God as the Lord has made a way for us, as He's open doors for us. And maybe you've lived your life apart from God, or maybe you've drifted away from God. Well, the Lord is always here. He's always there, ready to receive us back to Himself. And His arms are outstretched. He's reaching out to us. He's desiring us. And He wants to have a relationship with us. And that is what church is all about. It's about building and establishing a relationship with the Lord, being able to enter into the presence of God, that the glory of God would be experienced in all of our lives. And I tell you, every day gets better and better in the Lord as we walk with God, as we trust in Him. And so I just want to welcome you all here today, and I would like to thank you all for coming and responding to invitations, those of you that received invitations, and those of you who invited people. We are grateful to have you all here. And so we give thanks to God for all that our ears have heard and our eyes have seen, and we are looking forward to God doing great things in our midst. Well, are you ready today?
Yes.
To hear the word of the Lord?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, we are talking about, I guess I should back up a little bit. We've been talking about divine revelation and the revelation of God, and how God reveals Himself to His people, how God speaks to us in various ways and in various situations and circumstances. It's not always some kind of voice that we hear in our hearts or in our heads, but sometimes God uses situations to speak to us, and we find ourselves in circumstances that will cause us to realize the realities of what God is saying and doing in our lives, so that we can receive direction as the Lord opens doors or even closes doors, as He brings people into our lives from all walks of life to speak to us and to enlighten us or share with us, so that we would have a sense of what the next step would be or shouldn't be. And so God uses all types of things to speak to us and to engage us. And so life becomes an adventure. And you begin to see every day as an opportunity to hear from God and to experience all that He would like us to accomplish, so that we can live our lives in a way where we are seeing the Word of God come alive in the midst of us. And I pray that that is what God is doing in each of our lives here today, that we would be experiencing God, that each day we would be recognizing that the Lord is with us, that we are not alone, that we are in the hands of God. He has no intentions of leaving us.
Amen.
The Lord will not forsake us. And if we are faithful to Him, He will continually be faithful to us. And so we are talking about the effects of revelation. What happens when God reveals something to you? How does that impact our lives? And it's a powerful experience. And so here in Hebrews 10, I'm going to be doing something a little different today. And so I want you to bear with me as we go along. But verse 25 says, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And what day is the writer of Hebrews referring to? What day is he referring to? He's referring to the day of the Lord when Christ returned. He's talking about the day that Jesus said that he would come back again. We know that Jesus said he was coming back again. And that day is approaching. In fact, the Word of God gives us various signs and symbols to watch out for. And as evil increases in the world, it is a sign that God is doing more and more to bring about that day. That day is drawing near. And so we're going to take a little bit of a look at how God has established the church in order to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. How God has established us in the strategic locations that the churches are around the world, throughout this country and the rest of the world. God has strategically placed churches so that people can have an experience and an encounter with him where they can grow closer to him and become empowered by God. And so that is what God is trying to do in our lives. And so I'm going to use as a theme today the transmogrified life. Hallelujah. Yeah, baby. The transmogrified life. Yes, that's right. I know you're Googling right now, trying to see what in the world does that word mean. Well, join me as we pray, and we're going to find out. Lord, we are grateful for your word today, and we ask that you would continue to transmogrify us and cause us to be transformed into the image of Christ, to be the very people that you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, in our weakness, become strong. Lord, enable us to see, give us ears to hear, and the ability to discern your ways, that your life would be imparted to us, that we may live in the fullness of the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is indeed our strength. Enable us, God, to live a life of fulfillment, accomplishing your very purposes, that the word of God would be evidenced in our lives for the world to see. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, the transmogrified life, transmogrified simply means it's a miraculous change, a miraculous shift, the transition of God. God begins to do something new and powerful in your life. And it's not something that you can do on your own. You don't have the power to change. You don't have the power to experience this move of God that causes us to even be different people in the way we live our lives, in the way we hear and respond, and the way we see and perceive. God adds depth to our life that is powerful and life-changing. And so, as we are experiencing God, we will begin to see this transforming power and this change that takes place. In Hebrews 13:5 and 6, it says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And what is he saying here? He's saying that your pursuits of what it takes to survive in life, the pursuit of finances and taking care of all these different things that we have to take care of in life, they take a prominent place in our life, where they are the foremost important things in our life. And God is saying, no, just be content with where you are, what you have, and put your faith and trust in God, because the Lord is your source and your supply. And God will never leave you. He will never desert you. I love that word, because it's the picture of what someone experiences in the military when they go AWOL. They decide that they're just going to run off. They're just going to do things their own way. They don't want to live under the authority of the military, right, or of, you know, their commanders. And they don't want to follow orders. They want to do what they want. They want to make their own decisions. They want to come out of a disciplined life, and they want to live their own way. And God says, I won't do that to you. I won't desert you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. In other words, I know you have expectations of me, and I will not let you down. And God does not let us down. God enables us to overcome. Then he says, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? And so our faith and our trust is in God. The Lord is our helper. He is the one that we call upon. He is the one we lean on. We trust in him. And when we look to him with a heart of genuine desire for the Lord, God will not fail us. We don't have to fear people. We don't have to fear the bill collectors. We don't have to fear all the situations and circumstances going on in the community, in the world around us. And we're able to live in the liberty of the Spirit of God. And that is what God is doing in our life. 1 Chronicles 28:20 says, then David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all of the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And so here's David encouraging his son Solomon as he's passing on this legacy of living for God. And he has been charged with building the house of the Lord. And his desire is to see the kingdom of God established among the people of Israel. And that's what we are doing here today. That's what the church in this century, the 21st century, is doing. We are building the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. God's people are making a stand everywhere. It seems like when you watch the news, there's nothing godly going on. It seems like God is not even aware or around, and people are saying, where is God with all of this evil going on, all of these terrible things happening, situations with hurricanes and all kinds of earthquakes and things going on, typhoons around the world today even. And we're experiencing all of these things, and the world is saying, where is God? But God is the deliverer. God is the one who makes the way of escape. You see, evil is in the world. These things are all the result of sin, the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. It all birthed out of that. And so God is on the path of redemption, but it is the choice that each and every individual human being has to make for themselves. We have to choose who we will serve. God does not make us serve him. He does not make us acknowledge him or recognize him, but he does promise if we do and we're faithful, he will not fail us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, and he will be with us forever. That's the faithfulness of God. And so the onus is really on us. God says, I've made a way. You choose whether you want to follow me or not. I will leave you all the evidence that you need as to how much I love you, how much I care for you, how much I am there for you. And it's up to you to choose to stay and to be a part of my life, to be reconciled back to God. And that is what the church is all about. It is a place where we come to be reconciled to God, where we gather together in the name of the Lord in order to accomplish the very things that God has established in his word for us to accomplish. We're fulfilling a purpose in this world. And there are people that we encounter each and every day that we impact for either godliness or ungodliness sake. And if we're in Christ and if our hearts are genuinely in pursuit of God, then people's lives will be impacted in a powerful way, and they will be drawn closer to God. And lives will never be the same because they will come to realize the faithfulness of God. God will be faithful. When we are faithful to him, he is faithful to us. He has no intentions of leaving us, no intentions of abandoning us or leaving us alone. And so I want to share a few testimonies with you today, but I want you to see what it is that God has called us to do as the church. The first thing he's called us to do is to be faithful. He says, first, that a steward should be found faithful. Here in Matthew 28:20, it says that we should be teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is faithful. God will be faithful to you. He will be faithful to me. And together, we band together in order to establish the kingdom of God, the very presence of God, so that the world will see that the Lord is with us. Hallelujah.
Hi, my name is Joel Quinones. I've been coming to OCDF for about 8 years. My favorite thing about this church is just the family that you're adopted into when you start coming to this church. You know, you just come, and on Sunday, you know that you're going to see a bunch of people, a bunch of smiling faces who, you know, care about you and care about what's going on in your life. They're just there to support you and genuinely love you. The funny story of when I first started coming here, I was a freshman in high school, and I did not want to come. My dad told me we were going to a new church. I'd gone to an older church in the past, with my best friend from elementary school, and I was really upset that we weren't going to go anymore. And I was just set in my mind that I was going to hate it, and I was going to hate everybody there, and it was going to be awful. But when I came, you know, all the kids around my age just, you know, welcomed me, and they said hi, they introduced themselves, and they just wanted to hang out, and they were just a great group of people. And even though I wanted to keep up my exterior of hating the place, I couldn't keep it up. You know, just instantly fell in love with people. I'm involved in the worship ministry, I'm involved in the youth ministry, and I'm involved in the drama ministry, and whatever other ministries can get their hands on me. Don't ask me.
Jesus and God into everything that we're doing here. I think that's what's the with our message group, message boards that we're using right now, and developing that. That's definitely one of them that I've been very interested in, very active in. Another one, obviously, is the Add Your Voice. It was scary at first, but you know what I mean? I definitely adjusted to it pretty quickly and accepted it. And it's definitely helped me grow more in the Lord.
What has caught my eye and has been touching my heart a little is the missionary ministry. I am very interested in that, and hopefully at some point in my walk with God, He can guide me probably through that. I am also going to try out the dance ministry.
God is looking to transform each and every one of us. He wants to change our way of thinking from a carnal way of thinking and living to a way that is represented in the Word of God, that we would become like the disciples that we read about in the Scripture, that we would become a people who are impacting this generation. If it's not us, then who will it be? Who will be the witness to this world? Shall we lose or give up on a generation of people in this day and age? But no, God has called us to be richly, richly dwelling in the Word of God, allowing it to impact our lives, to transform us, using our gifts and our talents and our abilities to enable people to be drawn closer to God. And so Paul says to the Colossians, he says, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Oh, hallelujah. I pray that this morning we were singing with thankfulness in our hearts. We were worshiping the Lord with thankfulness, with gratitude in our hearts. Why? It's so important because the world is negative. The world is a place of bondage, and there is always something to bring you down. But the house of God is a place where we are built up, where we are encouraged in the Lord, where we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we have thankfulness in our heart. And it's not just in church. It impacts our lives so powerfully that we begin to take it out into the streets where we go. And we bring life. We have a smile. We have joy stirring. Why? Because the work of the Holy Spirit of God is continually stirring within us. And God is enabling us to see what others can't see. Where others see negativity and they see problems and they see things that aren't right, God enables us to see His handiwork. He enables us to see the potential and what He is about to do, how He is preparing us and how He's molding us and how He is creating situations and circumstances that will cause people to call upon the name of the Lord. And God allows us to go through these challenges in life so that He can prove Himself the Deliverer, the Redeemer. And this is what God has called us to do.
Sunday, we decided to come, and it's been a really amazing blessing for our lives.
And just to add, it's just been an amazing blessing to us to see the openness that this church has. It's really nice to be welcomed into a church, not even knowing anybody, and just
pray over us, and I felt that bitterness go away. And I was looking into it, so thank you so much. And it was like really big for me, because I felt like I could put the mirror on people. I wasn't planning on crying.
Church does for us. It establishes us in a place of community where we can experience love and acceptance, where we're not just the people you just come and worship God or experience a service and then you go home. But no, it's a place of community. It is a place where we connect with each other. We hold each other up. We encourage each other. We speak life to each other. And we enable each other. And even when life gets hard, we're there to support each other, to love one another. And that's what the church is all about. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a place where the people of God can be established in the midst of a dark and dying world, a world of oppression and bondage. The life of God is being breathed into people, and they are experiencing transformation and the power of God like never before. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And so this is what the church is. This is who we are as the people of God. And so it says, in him the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And so the Spirit of God is doing a work in the midst of us. The Spirit of God is building up his people. God is growing us and maturing us. Every day we ought to become more and more like Jesus, more and more like him. We see it in each other. We see it in one another. We grow more patient with each other. We grow kinder. We have the sharp edges are being sanded down, and we become smooth. We're able to endure, and we're able to manage and navigate through the difficulties of life. And when one is weak, the other is strong. When one is strong, he helps those who are weak. And we don't live our lives unto ourselves, but we live in a way where God can be glorified, where we can be a light in the midst of the darkness.
And hello, my name is Andrew Zoom.
The Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hello, my name is Andrew Zoom. I've been coming to OCG now for like 2 years. Breakout Youth Ministry. Well, when I first came here, I was extremely like antisocial and had a very negative view on everything and everybody. I just had this like hate in my heart, and I carried that around, and everybody here could see that. And I was like depressed for a really long time. But it wasn't until Raphael said something to me. I mentioned that he noticed when I was talking to him, I wouldn't make eye contact with him. And he said, people who don't make eye contact with people, there's usually something wrong with them. But I didn't respond. But that kind of stayed with me throughout months, a couple months. And then to stop my actions or else I'm going to end up anywhere. And another thing that's impacted me is like all the people here. You guys kept like giving me those little nudges and pokes. Like not annoying nudges, but like good nudges. So I eventually opened up to you guys.
Right.
And yeah, that's like the most impactful thing. You're working here. I thought this was going to be like the whole church I used to go to. Like, it was a small group. It was a small group. Like, really small, like, 10 people. But then when I came here, I thought all churches were going to be like that church. But I came here, everybody has open arms. Everybody's positive here. I want to say they were positive over there, but, like, it started slipping away. But over here, there's that constant atmosphere of, like, love and happiness and, like, positivity. Best advice to any new people is don't keep to yourself. Try and engage people. Because the moment you isolate yourself from everybody, you're going into the enemy's hands. And then you're going to end up depressed and sad. It's just like when you're sad, you listen to sad music, it's like adding fuel to the fire.
Change take place in your life. God will open up your eyes and your ears. You will experience experience a new creation in Christ, in your own self, and you will see that God has not forsaken you. He will never leave you. He will indeed be transmortifying you and bringing about a powerful new life.
God wants to breathe life into you. And it is time for the people of God.
minute you sit in a pew, you sit in a chair, and then you leave, and that's it. You know, you're gone.